Coming up on AI Haven't a Clue, who gives a rat's ass about some AI-generated creator?
But they've all got to start somewhere. Who's topping the AI leaderboard? It pains me to say it. I think you're probably right.
Oh, thanks. It happens every once in a blue moon. We're fresh out of the future of media.
This is the thing, it scares me that we have to remind ourselves that humans are important.
And have we found the ultimate slop fest?
Plus, James Sackles, one of your listener questions.
Move over, Janine, right? There's someone else who wants to live rent-free in George's head.
Hello, and welcome to AI Haven't a Clue, the podcast where we untangle the wild world of AI, because if it's going to take over the world, we should at least have a laugh at my expense before we get there.
I think there's some inevitability in your voice about that now.
Well, listen, this you're dragging me down, aren't you? It's coming. It's taking over the world.
You are George Butler.
Yes, I am. Worn down tech novice, George Butler, maybe. Yeah. You are. Are you a worn down tech expert, or are you still upbeat, positive, half glass full?
Upbeat, positive, glass sort of overflowing positivity, James Chandler. That's me.
We have just come back from the future of media, which we'll talk about in a little bit, along with this week, of course, the latest in the news from the world of AI, including the AI search wars heating up, what ChatGPT's up to in the old world of shopping, and we are finding out which nations come up trumps when it comes to AI knowledge.
It's a good one, and it's not the ones you think.
We've got James's big thing, and of course, one of your listener questions, putting our very own AI experts to the test.
Many thanks.
We've just come from the Future of Media conference where we did AI Haven't a Clue live on stage. It was, I think, quite fun.
It's different, isn't it? It's just different. You get loads off the audience. Yeah, I think we had, I had lots of fun. It's the second time we've done it. Marginally better than the first.
It's getting there. No, it was fun. I think interesting on a couple of accounts. Firstly, to see like the reaction to people's faces when we're talking about the challenges around AI, the issues we're facing. Also just where people are in terms of understanding this crazy technology and how quickly it's all changing. To kind of chat to people, to also just read expressions in the audience was interesting.
All you're interested in doing is trying to validate the fact that people call Mark Zuckerberg the Zug, which we know they don't from Zara the other week. Like, of all the things, that's all you're interested in doing.
Sorry.
Fans who thinks you're fixated on it.
Sorry, hold on a minute. Last week, she confirmed on the podcast that they do call him the Zuck at Meta HQ. Should we take a listen to what happened at the Future Media?
Do you know what my favourite learning from the last year of the podcast is? Because we've been talking for months about at Meta, whether Mark Zuckerberg, they actually name him the Zuck, which is horrible. I hate it.
They don't. James has said
they do not. Last week we had a brilliant guest on.
Zara Chatu was there for a long time.
Worked at Meta for a long time, confirmed to me they call him the Zuck.
She didn't.
Is there anyone here that works at Meta? Well, you wouldn't admit to it anyway. We do, it's fine. It's okay.
It's like the big things that AI is changing the world, the thing you want to obsess on is, do they call Mark Zuckerberg
the Zuck? It's unbelievable.
So, no one from Meta in the audience. If they were, they would have
been gaslit on this whole thing.
Oh, come on. You've got to move on from this now. It's happened. Accept it. Grow from it. We also had a live listener question, which on paper is a really good interactive idea. But for anyone that's ever been to a conference will know it's a disaster, because the only people that ask questions at conferences are men with big egos who don't actually want to ask a question. They just want to talk about how much they think that they know and make everybody think they're really, really clever. And of course, who would have thought that happened? I'm into the audience. I said, hey, hands up if you've got a list of questions. Quite a few hands shot up. Mm-hmm. The person nearest to me, I went for them. He snatched the mic off me, which I knew was a bad start.
Urgency.
And proceeded to basically tell us about AI. And then there was like a half a question at the end. We had 25 minutes on stage. I think he was talking for about six of them.
Brilliant. Well, I loved it because he answered half of the question for me, which was quite good. That, I must admit, I felt quite uneasy about not knowing what someone was going to ask. So at least it was one that I could. And I have maintained my expert status.
Yeah,
fantastic.
You like the fact that he just rambled and didn't ask you a good question.
Loads of time to think of something.
I didn't. The best one is, as we've talked about recently, we're now giving away AI Haven't a Clue t-shirts. which we wore on stage. We wore on stage, and I said to him, "Do you want a t-shirt?"
Not interested.
He didn't want one.
No. He made a gag about burning it. Don't even want to burn one.
He didn't want one. He wasn't bothered. He just really wanted to show off a little bit. So shout out to our new friend from the Future Media. Can we quickly talk t-shirts? Brand new.
100%, yeah. Are you modelling one now?
I'm modelling one. We both are.
Look at that.
Have a look on our social media if you would like to see what they look like. Genuinely, I think they're quite nice.
What do the kids say? Sick? Hot? What do they radical?
Well, radical. Maybe like 20 years ago they said rad. The kids.
Trying to tap into your sort of zillennial thingy. Like, what would you... I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, I mean, I sick is a million
sick,
miles
ripped.
Off.
Yeah, ripped.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. What's the skibbity toilet? Yeah.
No, it's like 6'7".
Okay. 6'7".
Okay. I was going to say skibbity toilet, but producer Alex says it's old now.
I was going to say 6'7".
Down with the kids. Okay. If you would like to support the podcast, you can buy one of our AI Haven't a Clue t-shirts. Honestly, I think they're kind of fun. They're pretty cool. If you head to AIHaven'tAClue.com, you can buy one there. Maybe it's because you love the style. Perhaps you enjoy listening to the podcast and it's your way of supporting what we do. You can head to the website and check them out.
Send us some photos if you do wearing them in AI-related arenas or situations.
You have to.
Or anywhere.
Yeah. Send us a photo. We'll give you a shout out on the podcast, of course.
Very nice.
I will quickly just talk about the Future Media. I thought it was interesting. A lot of AI chat over the 2 days. Now, this is a conference all about, you guessed it, the future of media. And there was a lot of discussion from media leaders about the world of AI. And there was a lot of, well, you know, it's coming and we know it's coming, but look, but our superpower is our humanity and people are the thing that's going to set us apart and we must remember humans are really important. And it kind of got me thinking, firstly, we're at a stage now where we've got to keep reminding ourselves that we as humans matter. And like, I know we do. I promise, guys, we do matter. Like that, I thought, is a bit bonkers. And secondly, I also sit there, and whilst I do believe it in many respects, I do honestly believe it, and we've heard it time and time again on the podcast, there was also a little bit of me sat there going, are we just trying to like kid ourselves? Are we just trying to make ourselves feel better by saying that? And really, you know, like we've heard last week with Amazon cutting thousands and thousands of jobs, does it really matter? I don't know, I'm becoming a bit torn.
I think we're giving ourselves a little back rub because it's quite a human thing to do. Like, turkeys aren't going to vote for Christmas on this. We're not suddenly going to go, oh yeah, actually AI, you can do all these things. You know, I've got this like inherent fear of what it can do. And you know, technology typically moves in these sort of 10 or 20 year cycles. This isn't. I mean, ChatGPT, OpenAI, they're a browser one minute. They're into, you know, robots the next. They're investing in something else the next. I mean, and that's all happening in like light speed. It's happening in weeks, not months and years. And I think that's quite overwhelming. But yeah, there are lots of people validating that humans are still important. Thank goodness.
Yeah, phew. I was worried.
I'm looking out for the Inception Point AI version of this podcast any minute anyway.
Could you imagine? After I've slagged off Inception Point AI, they just spend loads of time creating a much better AI version that just kills our show.
I love that Janine Wright still lives rent-free in your head. It's fantastic. You can't help but think about that. I love her.
I'm not nibbling on your Janine Wright. By the way, can I just say, I think Janine Wright is very clever and very
awesome.
Switched on. I have nothing against Janine. Can I make that clear, James? Nothing against Janine. Inception Point AI.
Yeah, beef.
Big beef. Janine, nothing. Respect.
I'll say it on the pod then. I think we'll look back in 6 months, maybe a year, and we'll be like, how on earth did we get that person? She has entirely transformed the whole podcast model. And it'll be like, how on earth do we get her, like, at that time?
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. James, rather than having this argument again, should we play what happened on stage at the Future Media?
So Janine Wright is, she's a really, really big deal in podcasting. So she's an American. She was like the most senior person at Wondery when it got sold to Amazon. She's got this stellar career in audio. She's got a legal background as well. Really well-established person. She left Amazon to set up a company called Inception Point AI. And Inception Point AI are basically AI podcasts. Last week, they produced 6,000 podcasts. They've got 60 personalities or hosts. They're all AI. Not a human touches it. And they're really niche things in gardening and sport and this kind of thing. And I genuinely think she'll be someone we look back on in 6 months to a year's time who will have completely revolutionized the game when it comes to podcasts. And George hates it because he thinks it's just slop.
Jack came on the podcast, used an amazing word, the sloppening. This, for me, is that encapsulated. Like, this is, there's no love, there's no care, there's no creativity, there's no purpose. They don't put prompts in. Literally, an AI bot is putting a prompt in, creating a bit of audio, using an AI voice, and releasing it. There is not a human involved at any stage of this process. So I don't get the purpose of it, other than, of course, to try and make money if they can get enough scale in really small listens. And look, I don't hate AI.
You are.
No, because we had Valentina and Andrea came on. They're from a company called Seraphine Valora. And you may have heard about them because they ruffled quite a few feathers in marketing and ad land and the fashion industry, because they created an ad for the fashion brand Guess. It was placed in Vogue. It was placed all around the world in shop fronts as well. And I thought, when they came on the podcast, I thought, I'm going to give them a bit of a hard time, because I hate the fact that, you know, photographers and models and producers...
The poor models.
Yeah, but look, it is people who've been doing their jobs for years and years, and all of a sudden it's like this AI-generated ad. These two girls created literally these beautiful posters, to be fair, completely AI-generated. But there's a big difference, I think. They persuaded me that they used AI as a tool. Democratized a sector in which there's huge costs involved. You have to book expensive models, go to locations, etc. And they use their creativity to design something from their vision without having those costs. And I respected that. It was using AI for creative purposes. Inception Point AI, none of that. It's slop.
I think they're one in the same thing. I think they're just different ends.
Can we do an audience vote?
If you think
Inception Point AI sounds like AI slop, would you put your hand up? If you think Inception Point AI is the future of media, would you put your hands up?
Hooray! Right. Yeah, brilliant. Excellent.
Should we move on, James?
We're moving on.
Rent-free.
Let's start with quite a landmark legal case for the AI sector.
Yeah, Getty Images, you'll know they're like the photo giant. You go and get sort of stock photography from them. They have just lost most of their case against a US-based company called Stability AI. They're the people behind a company called Stable Diffusion. So basically, image-generating AI. You can create pictures from text prompts. Getty had accused them of scraping millions of its photos to basically train their model, even spitting out fake pictures with the Getty watermark on it. But the High Court in the UK has said this isn't really our problem, because the training that happened outside of the UK, and they only really got stuck into the watermark bit. So this is a kind of a landmark thing, because one, it's kind of weird to see the AI winning here, but two, it just calls into question and puts this massive question mark over copyright law and how it works. And it harks back to William Bowes, who we had on, general counsel at YouGov, who was at Condé Nast before. He was basically making this point that it's fundamentally flawed, that copyright law is not keeping up with the pace of change around what it needs to be around AI. This is a classic example. So yeah, Getty not winning this one.
Also, it does make me think of when we had the Minister for AI on the podcast a few months ago, and she made very clear that they want to make the UK a place where AI can thrive, and they will do pretty much whatever it takes to make it happen. And little things like this stack up to exactly what they said. So I guess I'm not that surprised. Right, let's talk about our very good friends at Chat, aka ChatGPT, for the oldies out there.
Nice.
Something they're starting, something they're stopping. Let's begin with the latter, because ChatGPT is banning health and legal advice.
Yeah, they're rebranding, actually, as an educational tool. They're really worried about liability and lawsuits here, quite rightly. The sort of the scope of the ban will be that ChatGPT can only give sort of general principles. So it can't name medications for you. It can't draft legal documents. It couldn't give you investment tips. So they're kind of the dangerous bits. So there's some guardrails put around that. People are being told not to share confidential or personal information. We saw some of the stats beforehand about the amount of people that are using it in replacement for their GP and uploading all sorts of really, really intimate data and things like that in there. And I guess what it does show here is this sort of some of the limitations, the sort of the flaws that you see in ChatGPT. It can't really think about, we talked about this in the context of sort of therapy and things like that. It can't really understand what's an emergency, what's not, how dangerous is the situation. Like it can't contextualize that. It's just someone typing and they could be in real need of help, or they could be, you know, literally just searching something as you would. So because it can't do that, I can't really offer you any empathy like a human would do. Again, humans hand on the tiller here once again. That's why these restrictions have come into place.
It just goes to show that change happens when there are massive financial repercussions. Yeah. You know, tech giants will change, but only if it's going to impact the bottom line.
A lot of this, if you think in the context of Sora, so that's their video video product that they launched, Sora 2. They have this approach, which is very much a seek forgiveness afterwards rather than permission before. So they put out this Sora tool. People start creating all sorts of things with Hollywood stars in it. Hollywood is up in arms about the fact that it's breaching copyright. They're not getting paid. They're not getting royalties and all the rest of it. And only then will OpenAI go, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, should maybe put some restrictions in it. But typically how the world has worked before now is you sort of get the right permissions, you test it, you put it out there. But this is completely flipping that. It's going, okay, we're going to put it out in the world, see what happens. And when it goes wrong, okay, yeah, we'll jump on that.
But aren't people suing them? Aren't Disney and Universal and the likes taking them to court?
But at the same time, look at the hundreds of thousands and millions of users that are kind of using it and are out the blocks using it. So, you know, they're making some pretty intentional decisions here, I think, trying to mitigate that risk. And that's why you're seeing things like restrictions around health and legal advice. But yeah, it is very much a mindset of, you know, build it, ship it, sort of fix it in flight rather than, you know, get this thing perfect and right and put it out, which is a different way of doing it.
So ChatGPT are stopping health and legal advice, but they're beginning something quite interesting in the commerce space.
Yeah, they're basically becoming a shopping platform. They've launched instant checkout in the US, so you can basically buy products directly in the chat when you're doing it. They're starting with Etsy, and then there's a whole bunch of brands that you Shopify, people like Skims, Glossier, Spanx. So effectively, we don't need to go anywhere else. I mean, we've talked about this before in... These AI platforms want you, they want to be your first port of call when you're online. And then they're creating conditions that mean you don't need to leave. Like in a world before, you would ask me to find some Glossier makeup and then you'd click on it and then you'd go and into a different website and you'd do it there and then you go back into the thing. With this now, it's utterly seamless. You don't need to leave that console, that chat at all. I mean, incredible.
And that will no doubt change the way in which brands and people that sell things
100%
sell things.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got this agentic thing as well, so you know, based on what you're searching for, it's able to go out into the internet and pull in all of these things into your chat, a bit like you would a kind of a recipe, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, show me these things based on whatever the demand is. But the fact that you can convert it within there, I remember when e-com really started to scale on things like mobile and websites, where it, you know, when it was really, really clunky. Now you've got that whole, you know, Amazon with the one click and you kind of bought it, or you know, you're already logged in on Shopify or Stripe or whatever it might be.
Is this one of the reasons why advertisers are starting to spend more on Reddit?
Kind of.
Because I always thought Reddit was just when people are trying to target like techie nerds.
There are niche, incredibly niche, amazing human communities on Reddit. Reddit is slightly different in the search engine optimization, SEO. So the idea that you would litter your page with certain types of keywords. So when the Google spiders crawl it, they can basically find the content. So when someone searches it, they can pull it up. There's that whole business around how you do that. That's kind of been thrown in the air now with things like AI mode. So where Reddit comes in is that the sort of smartest advertisers and brands are finding that surfacing content in Reddit, so old conversations, new conversations, putting paid ads in there, the LLMs see Reddit because it's so rich in all of the content that it's got as a really good training ground to train their models. So the smart advertisers have caught on, you know, they're doing more and more in Reddit so that when people are prompting and looking for stuff in LLMs, that's where it's getting pulled in and it's getting surfaced from, not like it used to, where, you know, it's kind of Google spiders and that kind of whole SEO thing. Nice, though. Good that you've been reading around a little bit.
Well, I you know, from time to time, I keep up with this AI business.
Someone said Reddit. What's this Reddit?
On stage at the Future of Media, we talked about this brand new robot, Neo.
You sound utterly enthused by it.
Take a listen to what happened.
Who's Neo?
Neo is the new humanoid robot by a company called 1X Technologies. Its promise is that it's going to do all of your chores at home. So it's a robot about this big. It's about 5 foot two. Yeah, about 5 foot two. George's height. It can lift up things. It can do iron. It can take things for you. Well, it's got its own LLM. So you ask it to do things and it goes and does it. If you've seen like that Black Mirror episode, you can kind of imagine that. Pre-orders at the moment for the US, $20,000 or just for $499 monthly subs. It's the first humanoid AI robot that we've seen that's actually come out of prototype and come out of the lab. And I think we talk a lot about the AI wars, well, you do. This is kind of the physical AI war. So it's competing with Aptronics Apollo, Agility's Digit. I'm saying this, so I know you hate the names. And your favorite, because I know you love Elon, is Tesla Optimus, which is their robot as well.
Sounds like a transformer.
Yeah. But you know, I think this moves on AI from being something that you kind of command to do something and it creates something or it does something, to something that it can see, can hear, can plan, this kind of embodied intelligence, which I think is the next. I mean, it's beyond smart glasses for you, which I know you hate as well. Yeah.
But you know what? We were talking about this last night, and I at first thought, I actually quite like it because it could do my hoovering for me.
Exactly that.
And then I think Stephanie said, yeah, but what happens if it gets hacked and someone and they murder you in the middle of the night?
Could be that.
Actually, I'm okay. I'm probably
could happen.
What about military? Could this not be used to, you know, we could this not become a militarized tool?
Well, no. And I'll tell you why, because I've just read it at the bottom. It isn't waterproof. So outdoor use is limited for now. What
for
a flaw.
Now.
Any wars inside, fine. Get it outside. Yeah. No, it's not happening.
That's interesting, isn't it? But I mean, it is scary. Have you ever seen Star Wars Attack of the Clones?
I don't do science fiction, I'm afraid.
Well, you should watch it. Because it might be coming to us. Anyway, let's find out which nations are feeling the force when it comes to AI. Because there's been a study that has that's come out about AI adoption across the world, and it's ranked different nations by how much they use AI?
Adoption of AI, yeah. So this is, I've got a little quiz for you here. Okay. The FT, the Financial Times, have published an article on AI adoption by country. Yeah, and it basically looks at, analyses anyone who's an adult and then ranks the countries by how much they adopt AI. So who do you think's in the top 10?
Oh, I would have thought China, America, I tell you who we hear a lot about, Dubai, and like that whole area, because they gave everybody ChatGPT Pro for free.
So I'm going to put Tony Evans on as well.
Yeah,
from Dubai, UAE are number one. You know,
come on,
yeah,
I listen.
So they're up there. That's where you want to be. Singapore number two, maybe not a surprise. You get into the Scandies, Norway, Ireland, France, Spain,
Ireland.
New Zealand up there.
Ireland are quite a big tech. Dublin's quite a big tech area.
Yeah, very good. And it's not until France, Spain, New Zealand, then the UK.
So hold on a minute. You're telling me the French use AI more than we do in the UK. I simply do not believe it. I do not believe that they are sitting over there in Marseille on ChatGPT. I don't buy it. They're not having it. They're going to be appalled by it more than I am.
Yeah, proportion about 44%. So I mean, it's like a percentage point above us. You mentioned the US. I mean, the US is really interesting. The US are right down there. So countries that are above the US, you've got people like Sweden, Taiwan, Canada, Belgium, Switzerland. I mean, the only ones below are Costa Rica, Bulgaria and Finland, really.
I do think that with the States, we do always forget that it's not just LA, New York and Chicago. You know, it's a massive part of the population live in rural areas. They don't live in big metropolitan hubs. And I talked about when I was in America, the fact that OpenAI, along with other big tech companies, are making these really humanized adverts to try and soften the image of what they do and make it more acceptable across wider America. And clearly, that this is why. I mean, they wouldn't be doing that, would they, James? You're a marketing man. They wouldn't be doing that unless there was a reason to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I always think of America and I just think of Viv Ford riding around on a bike in San Francisco.
Friend of the show, Viv Ford. But she was a you know, she's like literally a tech girl.
Crypto.
And the complete opposite, I think, of the average person in America.
I think, pains me to say it, I think you're probably right.
Oh, thanks. It happens every once in a blue moon. UK could be worse. Not too bad. It could be worse for the UK in at number seven.
Some growth there. See where the numbers are next year. Yeah. I mean, we're probably doing better than we do in Eurovision. So every cloud.
No pois.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Right, time now for this week's listener question. It's a question that was asked to us at the Future of Media live recording. We didn't have time to answer it, so let's tackle it now. It comes from Courtney, who will be winning himself an AI Haven't a Clue t-shirt.
Very nice. Yeah, well done.
And the question is, how do we ensure AI is authentic and doesn't reflect human bias? I.e., can you reassure me AI won't be racist?
No is the slightly bleak answer, and I think we've had instances of this on different platforms. You had some fairly not great stuff, I think, on Grok that I remember reading about. I mean, we talked about it with Zira last week, actually. You know, there is work to be done on trying to think about that bias. She was talking about it in the context of gender, of which, you know, we just kind of know who's running these companies. We know the whole history. The written down history hasn't been particularly favourable towards women, and women haven't been credited for building some of those things that have come up particularly well. There is, I think, probably more disclosure coming now, though, about how these models are coming up with stuff. So, like, what is it that they're using to train? And can the people building them be a bit more intentional about where they're getting that information from? Could they get it from places that represent underrepresented groups, for example? But, you know, the slightly sad bit about all of this is that AI really is going to reflect life. It's going to reflect what the internet is like. And there are some dark spots to the internet and to life, unfortunately. So that's always, we're not going to see a sort of a highly sanitized utopia type version with AI, unless we're like really intentional about it.
But how crazy that we built this thing, this world changing thing from scratch, brand new, and we've let it drag all of our bullshit into the fray.
Yeah, indeed. We need a bullshit filter from someone, which would be incredibly useful.
Well, it won't be coming from Musk, will it? It won't be coming from Zuck.
If you go back to the very first episode, you know, Goodable as a platform, you know, that is being intentional about how you want to use AI, what you're kind of pulling in. So I think when you sort of really think about it and you have the intention to do good and be diverse and get rid of some of that bias, you can do it. But as a default, you know, there isn't just a kind of a button we can flick on to do that stuff, unfortunately.
Well, that's a depressing answer, isn't it? But
it's a good question.
It's a good question. Really good. Thank
Very
you,
worthy of a t-shirt. Enjoy your t-shirt, Courtney.
Yeah, you've just won yourself a t-shirt. I'm sure you're so happy by that. Maybe Courtney actually wants it, unlike the bloke from the Future Media Conference. Nah, I'm all right. He could have at least pretended that he wanted it. There was like a few hundred people in the audience and he literally just mugged us off.
You got asked at the end. Someone wanted a t-shirt.
Well,
didn't have any.
Head to AIHaven'tAClue.com and you can buy one.
Thank you.
Good plug.
Thank you. £79.99.
Yeah, £20. They're £20 actually, James. Support the podcast.
We should have talked about it.
Pay that extra £2 and you could also win one by asking a question like Courtney. Email us AIHaven'tAClue@gmail.com. We would obviously love to hear from you. Right. The AI challenge is always a particular highlight for me. One of my favourite things that we do in life because, well, I get to win and James gets to lose.
We're still doing scores. I thought it was just a fun.
Oh, here we go.
It was a little fun novelty thing for the end. But yeah, I can take it a bit more seriously if you are. That's cool.
Well, let's have a listen to what happened. Well, I decided to take it a little bit easier on James this week and not go head to head. But we did have some fun with the AI challenge at the Future of Media recording of our podcast live. Have a listen to what happened.
And we do this in our podcast every single week. James and I face off against each other and we have to try and figure out if something is real or it might be made by a human or an animal sound or whatever it might be, or if it's been recreated by AI. Mm. Now, James, you're the AI expert. So you must be thrashing me in this challenge.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing scores. You're taking it quite seriously, though, I can see. Yeah.
I'm in the lead, obviously. Mm. So I don't want to break this man live on stage. Wouldn't be fair. Instead, we're going to look for two tributes. Two people to come on stage and face off against each other. I promise you it's going to be easy and it's going to be fun. And if you want one, there's a t-shirt. You might not. Yeah. Let's do can we have a hands up? All right, Amelia. Come on, Amelia. I know Amelia. Amelia's going to be on my team. James,
is there any other hands up for yours?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Good man.
Thank you. Round of applause. Okay. Well, I do know Amelia. I work with Amelia at Bauer. How are you, Amelia?
Ah, so it's a complete stitch up from the start. Fantastic. Tell us your name and who you work for.
I'm Ishan. I work for VaynerMedia. I'm an analyst. And
is that with Gary Vee?
Yeah.
Is that with Gary Vee?
Yeah.
From TikTok.
Oh, analyst, big brain. Yeah. This is going to be a piece of piss for him. Yeah, fantastic. Good. That one's yours.
Oh, thank you.
Amelia is, honestly, I'm backing Amelia here.
Right.
Sure. Right. It's very, very simple. Four celebrities. You're about to see them. Kim Kardashian is the first up. Who knew? You're going to hear two bits of audio from each celebrity. One is their real voice. One is their AI replicated voice. Tell us if you think it's real or if you think it's AI. Should we hear the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when people underestimate me and then become pleasantly surprised. So I think it's like trusting in your team, trusting in yourself, knowing yourself.
Okay. Amelia?
Yeah.
Is the real Kim Kardashian one or two?
Two.
Two.
Do we all agree? Okay. Let's find out. Two is real.
Two is real.
1-1.
You would have guessed two, would you?
Let's hear it from Snoop Dogg.
When I first started, I was working hard, but I was hardly working. Roll away, baby, stay small, stay cool, and enjoy every single beat.
What do we think, one or two?
The first one is real.
Good.
Amelia?
Sorry, I agree.
That's okay. Anyone disagree?
Yeah.
Two? You're wrong. It's one.
Very good. Two all.
Two all. Okay, this is close. Next up, the Zuck.
People decide often that they want to start a company before they even decide what they want to do. That just feels really backwards to me. You've got to move fast, stay curious, and don't fear the weird ideas.
When is the
end? Yeah.
Oh, we thought that was the same clue.
I think one sounded real, right? What do you think?
What are you going for?
One.
We need to have different ones.
Go on, and what are you going for?
No, one. You say one, okay, one. We'll say two.
Okay, we're saying two.
One is real. 3-2. Yes.
It's okay. We can claw it back. This is the final one.
Analyst.
Will Smith.
Analyst.
Half the time, doing more just means I'm doing too much. I was always looking for the unfair advantage. What was the unfair advantage that I could have?
Okay. We're coming to you first, Amelia.
I think two.
Yeah.
Real?
Two's real. Do you want to make it interesting and go?
We don't
want to
make
one,
it interesting. We want to win, George.
Number two.
Yeah.
But I'm here to win.
What?
Good
what
man.
Do you think it is? Go on then.
Two.
Two.
Yes.
Is two the right? You don't know if it's the right answer.
No, I've got
find
a
out.
Good feeling
it's
that we could
right
be winning.
Answer.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, you know what? Obviously, we have a spare T-shirt, so we're going to give you both one if you fancy one, and we're going to say a huge thank you to both of you for joining us, and thank you so much
you.
As well.
Thank you, mate.
To everyone
Brilliant.
For listening.
Hang on a minute. So I get that. That was my guy. He won. My analyst.
Okay, that is all we've got. Time.
No. That's my point.
What do you mean?
My analyst guy.
What?
Well, we won it 3-2.
You're claiming.
I'm taking that.
You're claiming that.
We were a team. You can't just decide when you're taking AI challenge points or not.
That's absolutely.
I want it locked in.
It's not happening. You're not getting that.
I'm going to raise a dispute.
You can raise that dispute.
Molly!
It's not happening. Molly. But I would like to thank our two brilliant special guests for the AI challenge. Both got a T-shirt, I should add.
Very good.
They wanted one. We had a spare one. The bloke didn't want one, did he?
Move over, Janine, right? There's someone else who wants to live rent-free in George's head.
And on that note, that's it for this week's edition of AI Having a Clue. A huge thanks to you for listening. We do genuinely, honestly, really, really appreciate it. As always, if you would like to rate us or subscribe and share the podcast with your friends or your enemies, we don't really care. You can also find us on all socials, and if you want to buy a t-shirt,
yeah,
AI Having a Clue,
get one.
.com. Thank you to Team AI Having a Clue, the brilliant Molly, David and Alex. We will catch you next time, but for now,
please just stay curious.